This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? Somebody yesterday in the comments asked me to make a video about shirk. And shirk obviously being the cardinal sin, the worst sin in Islam, worse than anything else. Why is it conceived as such? How can we justify that shirk, which is loosely the association of partners with God, but encompasses a lot more than this? Why is this the worst thing you could possibly do as a human being? So in this very short exposition, and obviously we are going to, inshallah, like talk about this more at length, kufr and shirk, in terms of in learning environments. Obviously this is more casual, but some people will not be able to just sit there for 20 or 30 minutes and listen to lectures. So I'm going to try and abbreviate this to less than 10 minutes. I know that's a very difficult thing to do. But shirk is loosely associating partners with God, which could be to make level, okay, anything of the creation with God, the ultimate and the absolute. How you doing? You all right?
Listen, turn up.
Huh?
Woo, she won't let me turn the music up.
Okay. That's it's probably a good thing. It's just drunk, I see. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Look. I'll see you later, yeah? Yeah.
I don't have tickets.
Yes. Anyway. Yes. Obviously, they want to sing to the man. This is something normal, natural. This is part of the disposition to see someone like me, that you want to sing to the man, to the champ. This is fine. This is normal behavior. I'm only kidding. Anyway. So going back to the point, shirk associates of making level anything with God. Now, either to put God on the same level as anything at the same level of God, in any of his attributes, in any of the worship that is owed to God, that you give it to other than God, and any of his names, okay, anything like that, in the fact that of his lordship, the fact that he grants sustenance and development to not only the universe but everything around us, to attribute anything of those categories to anything other than God is to commit the cardinal sin of shirk. The cardinal sin, okay, sorry, it's shaky, but so are the faiths of those who believe in shirk. It's unstable and shaky, you see, so we have to fix that. Or it's to bring God to the level of anything in creation. And that could be in any of the three ways aforementioned. Okay, so for example, to attribute humanness to God, to attribute weakness to God, to attribute forgetfulness to God in any real sense, to attribute any of the deficiencies which color and categorize human beings and creatures in this world, to categorize God in any such way would be to commit shirk. Now, why is that the worst thing? The Quran states unequivocally and unambiguously, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha." That God does not accept that shirk is done with him, but he accepts anything else to whomever he wants. Why is there such a harsh penalty? Why is shirk seen as such a bad thing in contradistinction with anything else, even the kabair? And we are talking here about the shirk which necessitates that someone really is leaving Islam for all intents and purposes, unless they, and in some cases they won't have an excuse, do have an excuse. So for example, someone sleepwalking, okay, because we don't want to take these abstractions and start imposing them on people. Someone sleepwalking, or someone is, completely ignorant, just came into Islam, there may be some level of excuse giving that we can give. But generally speaking, in abstraction, if anyone does these things, they are stricken from the Islamic paradigm. They are beyond the pale of Islam. You see. So this is seen as the most cardinal sin known to man. Why so? I want to present to you guys the value attribution argument. Okay? The argument from divine value. I call it that. I've dubbed it as such. What is the argument from divine value? It's a very simple argument which says that the more, the higher the attributes are of the one that you are transgressing against, okay, and that the more they are, the more of a sin or of a crime or of an immorality that someone commits by doing, by committing such transgression. Now, I'll give this to you in a very simple format. Going into the car park, which is good, I say to you now, for example, if someone were to say, if I cut a baby into two pieces, okay, and I cut a tree into two pieces, of which two pieces, which of the two is a worse thing to do? Now, on materialistic atheism, you don't really have an answer, because there's no intrinsic value in either of the two. But if you said, well, actually, the intrinsic value will belong in the attributes, the two entities which inhere in the two entities, or which the two entities, you could say the two entities have, okay, the attributes that they can be described with, then obviously we'll say the cutting of the baby into two pieces is more transgressive, unethical, and immoral than the cutting the tree into two pieces. So this is an argument from attributes, okay? Now, if we say, well, if that is the case, all right, if that is the case, then transgressing against God is even worse, you see, because God has got unlimited attributes. Give me the ticket, please. Thank you very much. Where's the ticket? Give me the ticket. Good, good, good. Now, as I was saying, so if it's to do with attributes, the situation is to do with attributes, you see. Right. Now, God has unlimited attributes. So transgressing against one with unlimited attributes is misappropriacy, or inappropriacy, I should say, right, which is of the highest level. And as such, it should be punished at the highest level. And someone says, well, you actually believe in a hellfire which burns people eternally? Yes, we absolutely believe in such hellfire. How can you justify, someone will say, a hellfire that will كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. Every time that their skin is peeled off, we give them new skin that they may taste the punishment, the Quran states. How can you justify, you know, such a punishment to people? Say, for instance, these people, right, may have been worshipping God for 60 years, or sorry, doing shirk with God for 60 years. Abdullah Andalusi gave me a beautiful answer, which I continue to use, and I think it's a very fantastic way of breaking this down. The answer is, well, look, if someone stabs someone to death, that takes a minute, doesn't it? Or a second, maybe even 2 seconds, 3 seconds. Now, you're not always going to go to the court and say, well, this person deserves to go to prison for 2 seconds, because the severity and the gravity of the crime is such that it needs to be punished for a longer period of time, despite the fact that it was done for a shorter period of time. The gravity of shirk, therefore, is unparalleled in terms of any comparisons that anything else can be made with it. Now, in conclusion, it's not about shirk. It's about now identifying what shirk is, because some people are quick to say that's shirk, that's kufr, that's bid'ah. We really have to assess if these things are actually shirk or not. Like, we have a scandal of a preacher, Abdurrahman Hassan, Ustad, who has studied Islam for a long time, and he was saying kufr asghar, a minor form of shirk, a minor form of kufr, which is another category, is if you play football because it's ruling with what other that Allah has revealed. This is scandalous, in my opinion, because it's making a mockery out of the religion of Islam. Well, I shouldn't say making a mockery, but it's mischaracterizing it. It's distorting the hierarchy in the religion of Islam. It's don't be afraid of people saying this is shirk and this is kufr to blackmail you into certain belief systems or opinions. Many people in the ummah of religion of Islam will use the terms to blackmail people into action. We know what shirk is now in theory, okay? Now, in application, that requires kind of thinking, applied knowledge. Okay, is this shirk, is this not shirk? So what I want to say to everyone right now is, this is the very basic skeletal model of what shirk is. And I'm going to try and stick to what I said about it being under 10 minutes. It's a very, very basic thing. Of what shirk is, we said, is associating partners with God, giving any of the rights which belong to God, to other than God, or any of the rights that belong to the human being, or elevating the human being to the level of God. This is shirk. Now, there are many actions you can do that through giving the worship, the rites of worship of God to other than God. You can do that by doing taswiya, or equaling or leveling God with other than God, in either his names and attributes, in his sustaining power, and of course in his oneness and other things as well. So hopefully that makes sense. And so we said worship, uluhiyya, rububiyya. Okay, this is what is referred to, like the sustenance and so on. Well, that's ma'u sifat, which is the names and attributes of God. Any leveling, when it relates to those three categories in particular, is seen as shirk, is seen as polytheism, which is the cardinal sin of Islam. And there is a punishment waiting the people who intentionally do that, because we are born believing and worship, believing in the oneness of God. To do that is to distort one's natural predisposition and to deny one's own self.